Welcome, everyone. I'm Kathy Bornarth, the president and founder of the National Association of Christian Journal Writers. Our featured guest today is Carol Round. Carol is a vibrant speaker, teacher, and inspirational storyteller. Her talks are filled with exciting, often humorous stories and practical applications to teach women biblical truths and glorify Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. A self-syndicated columnist and Christian author, Carol began her journey with the Lord in October 2001 when she admitted her need for his guidance. Since that time, she has sought a deeper relationship with him through reading scripture, Bible study, and the personal discipline of keeping a daily prayer journal. She has authored 7 books, including 3 collections of her weekly column, A Matter of Faith, Journaling with Jesus, How to Draw Closer to God, and the companion workbook, The 40-Day Challenge. She has also added children's book author to her resume with the release of her first 2 books in a 3-part series called Nana's 3 Jars, with each book focusing on a different money principle, giving, saving, and spending. Oh, that sounds pretty cool, Carol. I think I might pick that up for my grandkids. Carol has a blog. She blogs weekly at www.carolaround.com. Welcome, Carol.
Hello. How are you doing today, Kathy?
I'm doing great. We're having a lot of rain here today, but other than that, beautiful as usual here in North Carolina. That's where I'm from. How
well,
about there? What's
send,
it like in?
Yeah. It's pretty hot and humid in northeastern Oklahoma right now.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, usually it's like that here, too, but I think the rain today has cooled it down a little bit for us. So. Mm-hmm. So, Carol, I am going to jump in and start talking right away about your book, Journaling with Jesus, How to Draw Closer to God. And maybe you could talk to us a little bit about the 40-Day Challenge, that workbook that goes along with it. But I'm just going to start with that. Is that okay? Just kind of jump in?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Well, when did you begin keeping a prayer journal, and why a prayer journal?
Well, it was probably in the mid to late 90s. I was going to marriage counseling and with my ex-husband, and the counselor that we were both seeing, she would see us together and individually, but she suggested that I start keeping a prayer journal, and I've always loved to write, and so I started keeping a prayer journal, and that grew, especially after my 28-year marriage ended. In 2001, prayer journaling became even more important in my life because I was able to pour out my pain and you know, just talk to God about it. And, you know, and it helped me to not only forgive him eventually, but to forgive myself. And we're actually now on friendly terms.
Oh, wow. That's great. And that was a Christian counselor that brought that to your
yes.
attention?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Well, so how has prayer journaling played a role? How about in your spiritual growth and helped you to overcome so many trials then in your life?
Well, first of all, I grew up in the church in Lake Charles, Louisiana, where I was born. But sometimes it's only by looking back that we can see God's fingerprints on our lives. And that's one thing that prayer journaling has helped me to see. All of my parents were raised, when they were growing up, they went to church faithfully. When they got married and left Oklahoma and moved away, eventually they ended up in Louisiana. And God saw to it that even though my parents didn't take my sister and I to church, they bought a house in a new housing development, and just a block away was a little Methodist church. And when my sister and I were old enough, we were invited by neighbors to start attending the church. Well, we could walk to the church because it was so close by. And I can look back now and see I had that foundation. But I knew of God, but I didn't know him personally until after my divorce, and I was 47 years old. Mm-hmm. And I think that the prayer journaling, you know, reading the Bible, writing, I kind of call it writing a love letter to God in my prayer journal, helped me grow spiritually, because I can go back, I have all my prayer journals, and I can go back and look at the things that I wrote in the beginning and the things I write now, and I can trace my spiritual growth. I can see how God's worked in my life. I can see how he's answered prayers that I didn't forget I prayed. I can see how he didn't answer prayers that I prayed, and it's like Garth Brooks' song, "Thank God for Unanswered Prayers." But I've had a lot of trials in my life besides the end of my marriage. 9 months after the divorce was final, I was diagnosed with stage 0 breast cancer. I was very blessed because it was caught early. I had to have 2 lumpectomies and no further treatment. Then the following year, I had to have my gallbladder removed. In fact, total, I've had 8 surgeries in my life, but I'm in very good health. But anyway, prayer journaling. Yes, thank God. But anyway, it has just helped me to deal with so much and overcome so much that if I hadn't been prayer journaling and had not developed a closer relationship with the Lord, I probably would not have been able to overcome a lot of what has happened.
Yes, I think that people don't realize that how much power that has. Journaling your prayers, journaling and writing, like you said, love letters to God. How, like a couple things that you mentioned. First of all, how you can look at your it's kind of like your life story, and see how God has really moved and made changes in your life and brought you through so many things. And then you could see also just how much you've grown. That's great. And what a blessing the counselor was to bring that up to you. Wonderful. Well, can you tell us, Carol, what's the backstory behind your current book, Journaling with Jesus, How to Draw Closer to God?
Well, after I retired from a 30-year teaching career in a different northeastern Oklahoma community, that was actually on the lake. I argued with God for 9 months before he brought me to Claremore, Oklahoma, which is about an hour and a half away. And when I do speak to women, I laugh and I tell them that only a no sane person would leave Grove or Grand Lake, and it's a beautiful community on the lake, and I lived on the lake, and moved to Claremore, Oklahoma, the home of Will Rogers. However, we have probably 60 trains going through here every day. So I laugh and say, you know, God had to get me out of my comfort zone, although it took 9 months to convince me and get me to Claremore, or I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. And after I started writing my weekly column, and it does run in 12 Oklahoma newspapers and a couple of national and international publications, and I'm very humbled. It's not me. It's God doing. I was asked to start doing speaking engagements, and I was invited by a local church, a very large church, and they were having a women's retreat with 400 women who were expected to attend, and they wanted me to be their main speaker, and I told them, I said, well, I don't think I'm ready for that. while I had taught teenagers for 30 years, it's a little bit different getting up in front of a classroom of teenagers and getting up in front of your peers. And so I did get them a speaker whom I had heard at a Christian Writers Conference in Texas, and they asked me if I could do a breakout session on a particular topic. Well, immediately, God brought to mind prayer journaling. So I spoke in 3 smaller sessions on prayer journaling. And just an example of how God works, in every session, I had one woman ask me, do you have a book? I said, no, but I think I need to write one. So that's how it came about.
Right. See, yeah, that's kind of God's little nudge, his little message to you that people need this, and you were the one to you were just the right person to do it, right?
Well, God thought so, even though it took me 5 years before I sat down and really penned the book, because I got sidetracked by some other things, and I would run into someone who had heard me speak and say, they'd say, Carol, when are you going to write that book? So after, you know, hearing that for so long, I thought, yeah, I think God's telling me I need to sit down and write this book.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly. So can you tell everyone that's listening, what do you believe is the difference between, like, a diary and a journal?
Well, if you think of a diary, I usually think of a teenager. And I don't know, a lot of us kept diaries when we were younger. I don't remember what mine looked like, but I do remember, you know, they have a lock and a key, and you would usually hide the key somewhere different from where the diary was at. But if you think about it, when you're writing in a diary, it's almost like a report of what's happening in your life. You know, you might record what you had for lunch, or who you met that day, or, you know, a problem you might have at school or work or something similar, you know, just basically chronicling your life. A journal is different because it's a tool for examining your life. And that's the difference. You examine your life. It's about so what and what now. So you're able to gain insight and grow, especially in spiritual matters, because it's a way to keep track of your journey and your reactions to matters that deal with, you know, spiritual things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, now, Carol, if someone didn't know how to start a prayer journal, what would you tell that person?
Well, I'd tell them to buy my book first.
Exactly. And it's a good book, too. I actually got your book, I think it's been at least a year ago, on Kindle. So if anybody's out there and wants to get the book, you can get it on Kindle, because that's how I got it.
Well, how would they start? I would tell them to get a notebook of some type. They can just get a spiral notebook, or they can get a three-ring binder and put loose leaf paper in it. They could buy a pretty journal. I do that now, even though I started in a spiral notebook. I have my ink pens. I have everything together in one place. My Bible, my devotionals, my prayer journal, my pens, everything in one place. So when I get up in the morning and after I've let my dog out and then fed him and I made me a mug of hot tea, I go straight to that place, what I call my sacred place. Mm-hmm. About 3 or 4 years ago, I added a sunroom onto my house for that reason. So that is what I call my sacred place. And I know when I enter that room that's my time with the Lord. In fact, I very seldom go out there for any other reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I really like that idea, just having the ritual to set it up and know that this is my space, and this is another thing to add to that might be a time, like you did when you get up in the morning, you take the dog out, and this is my time and this is my space, and then you're prepared and you're ready.
Yes, and if you don't have a separate room, you know, you can find a corner of your living room or a corner in your bedroom or a spare bedroom and set that space up and let, you know, others know in your family that this is my time, this is my space, and, you know, no distractions. Don't have your telephone with you. I don't even have a clock out in my sunroom, because people often ask me, well, how long do you spend out there? Well, mm-hmm. as long as necessary. You know, when I'm communicating with the Lord, you know, he doesn't have a watch on either.
Right. Well, now, but Carol, what would you say if someone said, you know, I'm just too busy to spend time with God in the morning and read scripture and write in a prayer journal, and I'm a busy person. I don't have time for that.
Well, I get that often when I speak to women's groups about prayer journaling, and this is what I tell them. You have to make time. And the best time for most people is in the morning, because And if you have to get up earlier than usual, you know, start out with, you know, getting up 10 minutes earlier. And then I have found once you start doing it and you make it a habit, a good habit, a discipline, then you want to get out of bed. You want to spend that time with the Lord. Because if you start your day with Him, no matter what happens that day, you're better able to handle what comes your way because you've started your day with the Lord. And I have found that time and time again. And I actually, the last time I did a prayer journaling workshop earlier this year, I had a woman who is older than I am, and I'm almost 62. She was probably in her 70s. She wasn't working. She really had no big commitments, and I think that's a problem. So many people overcommit after they retire. And I tell people, you won't find retirement in the Bible. It's redirection. God redirects us. And so, anyway, she just kept saying she didn't have time. And I said, well, what do you do with your life? You know, and I don't remember the details. And I finally told her, I said, you have to make time. You have to, you know, if someone, you know, don't let someone else set your schedule. You have to set your schedule and put God first in your life if you want to have that intimate relationship with Him.
Right.
And
right. It's making God the priority in your life. And so often we find so many other things that become our priority and put God down at the bottom of the list.
Exactly. And I tell women too, I said, you know, we're asked to give the first fruits of our finances. What about giving God the first fruits of our day? Because by the end of the day, we're usually too tired, and all we want to do is pop on the couch and watch TV.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, okay, so what would you say, in your experience, what would you say are the benefits of keeping a prayer journal?
Well, I think it helps establish a routine in your life. And routine, sometimes you think of the word routine and you think of it as a negative word. But it's a spiritual aid. And it helps you grow spiritually. It helps you understand what God's doing in your life. It helps you clarify your thoughts. It can help you bring about new discoveries about yourself. It can help you discern how God is speaking to your heart. I am just always amazed, as I said, when I go back and reread my entries and see my spiritual journey. And I keep them. One of the questions that I was asked often asked when I do a workshop is, you keep all your journals? And I said, yes. And I have a special place in a box in a trunk in my office. And they said, well, and I remember the first time I told this one, and this was a pastor's wife, and she said, well, I wouldn't want anyone to read what I've written after I'm dead. And flippantly, I said, well, who cares? You're dead. And then I realized, but there might be some things you would not want someone to read after you're gone. So I suggest that, you know, at the end of the month or the end of the week, whenever is the best time for you, go back through it briefly. And if there's something you don't want someone reading after you're gone, tear it out and destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
But think of it this way. After you're gone, think of the spiritual heritage you've left for your children and grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a thought. But furthermore, keeping a prayer journal, what it's done to me, it's helped me to just listen for that still small voice. And if I need encouragement, I can look back at my written record of my prayers and see that God's always been faithful, even when I haven't been. And I think that is very encouraging because it helps us to see God's power displayed in our lives. And as I said earlier, it becomes a regular time each morning to communicate with God. And I can't not recommend it highly enough for someone who really wants to draw closer to God.
Right. And so when people start doing this, they start keeping a prayer journal, I think the benefits will be obvious. And sometimes it's easy for us to talk about the benefits, you know, and people are listening to that. But until you really get into it, until you start doing it and sit down and really experience it, they're kind of, sometimes they're just words, but you will see the benefits once you start actually keeping your prayer journal.
Well, this is so, also what I tell ladies. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. It's fine.
You know, as I mentioned earlier about how it helped me heal from the anger and unforgiveness I had towards my former husband, writing down what you're feeling, you know, pouring it out and telling God about it, it's like it just leaves your body and flows onto that page, and then you can see it. And it's just the process of it's you know, releasing it. So it can help you to heal.
Exactly. Getting out of your body, just the physical act of writing it down, getting it out of your body and onto paper, actually takes some of that power away from that emotion, that heavy emotion. Right? And it's your opportunity to give it to God. Just cast that care onto the Lord.
Right. Exactly.
Well, Carol, now in your book, you've also shared other women's experiences with prayer journaling. So what would you say is the common denominator in these women's experiences?
Well, although all started to keep a prayer journal at different seasons in their lives and for different reasons, they all agreed that it has helped them to have a more intimate relationship with God. And I think that is the clue there. That is the reason to keep a prayer journal. If you want to know God's will for your life, if you want to draw closer to Him and find the peace that passes understanding, then, you know, I suggest that women try prayer journaling for that reason.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So what would you tell those people who are afraid to express themselves in writing, or who say, I don't know what to write or where to start? Or, you know, a lot of people say, yeah, I'm going to write, but then they think, they get in front of the journal and they start looking at it and it's like, okay, now what do I do?
Well, first of all, some of the things, being a former high school English teacher, I tell people who don't feel like they are writers, I tell them, God's not going to whip out his red pen and circle the misspelled words or criticize your punctuation. This is your personal communication with the Lord. He knows your heart. He wants to see your heart poured out in writing to him. He wants to know that you want that relationship with him. And if they don't know where to start, I suggest, if they have a daily devotional, read it and use that to jumpstart it. Or read scripture and use that to jumpstart their writing. In fact, I have a chapter on that, on, you know, if you're struggling with how to get started, I actually have some prompts for them to use or suggestions.
That's a great idea. So once, if they pick up your book, they can look and see, you know, what are some different prompts. And so that's kind of some of the things I do, too, is offer people prompts through my journalingforfaith.com. I kind of write a little devotional and then give a prompt. So there are things out there. There are prompts, and people can find prompts online, all kinds of places. So I agree, use a prompt if you feel like, I don't know where to start. But now, one of the chapters in your book is titled Writing Through the Pain. What does that mean?
Well, we talked a little bit earlier about, you know, if we're trying to heal from something, maybe we think that God's forgotten about us. And, you know, people need to know that, you know, you're not alone, you know, because there's been times in my own life when I felt empty and alone, and I've actually cried out for God to bring me home. I was ready to go home, but God had a better plan for me. But I was in so much emotional pain, I didn't really want to live. And that is, some of the women who shared their story, they were the same way. probably a lot of people have heard of Marilyn Meberg. She's a Christian author and speaker and a member of the Women of Faith organization. And this is what she had to say about writing through the pain. I find it wonderfully liberating to talk to God with my humanness showing in all its unattractiveness and not have to worry about what is best for him. God is the strong one, and not I. He doesn't need my diplomacy, and neither does he fall off his throne when I tell what he already knows about my feelings, even when that feeling is anger. And I even mentioned in my book that, you know, what if we turned to God when we were angry instead of lashing out at those we love the most? How many times when it's, you know, we may be angry, think we're angry with someone, and maybe a lot of times it's just frustration. So that's one of the things that prayer journaling does. By putting it down on paper, often it helps us to see what we're really feeling. And, you know, if we are hurt, if we are upset with someone, you know, pour your heart out in writing to the Lord and ask Him to help you see the situation through His eyes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Help you sort through that. Just sort through that pain so you can come out. Right. Better understand it and know, and also know what God wants you to do next, or what He wants you to take away from that and learn from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Carol, tell us about the covenant with God in the book.
Well, this is probably one of my favorite parts of the book, and I'll tell you why. When I sat down, before I started writing the book, I had outlined the chapters. But as I neared the end of the book, and sometimes I get a little teary-eyed when I talk about this chapter in my covenant with God, because this chapter was not part of my original outline. This was strictly the Holy Spirit. And as I wrote this chapter, I cried as I wrote it, because the words just flowed. As I said, they are not my words, they are the Holy Spirit's words. And in the covenant, I won't read the whole thing because it's rather long, but at the end, it says, "By your grace, Father, I agree to spend the next 40 days focused on learning more about you through my prayer journal. I pray that your word will not return empty, but will accomplish what you desire and achieve your purposes in my life." And then you sign it and date it. And as I said, I get a little bit emotional when I talk about this chapter, because I know it was entirely the Holy Spirit who wrote this chapter. And I'm making a commitment to 40 days. And at first I thought, I thought about 21 days, because they say it takes 21 days to make or break a habit. I thought about 30 days, because most months you don't have 30 days. And then I thought, no, 40 days, because how many times do we associate or think about the 40 days in the Bible? You know, the days that Jesus spent in the desert, and there's just so many other examples of, you know, 40 in the Bible.
And was that what birthed the workbook?
Yes, ma'am. That's what birthed the workbook. In fact, I wasn't the one that actually thought about it. It was a friend of mine, a very close friend. And as we were discussing the book when it came out, she said, "Carol, women like workbooks. You have a workbook here to get people started." And that's another, you know, way that women can get started when I teach prayer journaling classes and workshops. And they say they don't know where to start. Well, this jump starts the 40 days. You have it all laid out in front of you. And in my workbook, for example, I give a scripture, a little short explanation, and then I actually start, you know, the letter for them, the love letter to the Lord. For example, on day two, the title is Relying on God's Strength, and that to start the prayer journal, I started out, "I want to completely trust and rely on you for everything in my life. I'm counting on you to show me how to rely on you fully." And then you go on and you write your thoughts about trusting Him fully. And then at the end, I have a faith step, and they can actually use that to jumpstart their journal writing, or to further reflect on it. For example, whom have you relied on in the past? Other people? Yourself? Consider what steps of faith God is asking you to take today to learn how to rely on Him fully.
Good stuff, Carol.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm going to have to get myself the workbook. I don't have the workbook. So now I'm thinking, maybe I need to get the workbook too, because it sounds wonderful. So,
Thank you.
Well, tell me, what about those people with the good intentions who start their prayer journaling and then quit, or they just give up? What would you tell them?
Keep starting over and don't give up. I've had women tell me that in the past that, I've tried prayer journaling, or, when I've spoken in women's groups, for example, I've tried it and it just doesn't work. And I think that the covenant at the end that you sign with the Lord, I read earlier, that the last paragraph, and having the companion workbook helps you, stay focused. And if you do drift, just pick it up again. I mean, if you don't stick with it for 40 days, pick up where you left off and don't give up. Because I really think once that a woman makes a commitment to do this, it's going to change her life. It's going to transform her. I know it has transformed me. When I speak to women, I always talk about the old Carol and the new Carol. And we know that I'll just say, Jesus got a hold of me. And that's how I became the new Carol. And not that I was a bad person before, but I wasn't living for the Lord.
Right. Wow. This is really great stuff. I'm so pleased that you agreed to talk with me today and to share all of this with those who are listening. Carol, what would you like to say in closing? Is there anything, one last thing one message that you want to give everyone that hears this?
Well, when I opened my the foreword in my book, I shouldn't say the foreword, the introduction in my book, I wrote the following. Of course, I'm referring to Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. And I start out asking a question. Can you imagine what it would be like to sit down and have a one-on-one conversation with our Savior? Can you picture yourself sitting together on a carpet of clover near a small mountain stream? No one is around to interrupt your dialogue. The only sounds are the water as it flows on its course downstream, the occasional rustling of the grass as a forest creature timidly checks out the intrusion in its world, and the call of a bird seeking its mate. And that's how I imagine prayer journaling. It is being able to, have that quiet time. No one else is around. You're dialoguing with your Savior. And one of the things we have to remember is that God gave us two ears and one mouth. So we have to talk, but we have to listen for that still small voice. And that's what prayer journaling does. It teaches you to be more in tune to that still small voice.
Yes. Wonderful. That's great. Carol, how can people get your book? How can they find you?
Well, if they will go to my blog, www.carolaround.com, they can not only read about all my books, but if they click on the link to prayer journaling as well as the prayer journaling challenge, it will take them straight to Amazon to purchase my book.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful. And everybody that's listening, I'm getting my 40-day workbook probably as soon as we get off the phone. So,
well, thank you.
Because I'm excited. Oh, Carol, thank you so much for
joining
me
today.
And I look forward to speaking with you again. Okay, good. We will stay in touch. And thank you, everyone, for listening today, and watch again as watch for our next guest opportunity, and have a blessed day.